that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Our guest today is Stephen Cummins, Director of University Public Engagement at Chico State. But today we'll be talking about his newest role in the Chico community as chair of the Chico Arts Commission, an organization that makes arts funding recommendations to the City Council and provides the marketing of Chico as an arts and culture center and an arts and culture destination for people from all over. Also on today's program, we'll visit Riverfront Playhouse in Reading to talk with directors and cast members from the production that opens tomorrow. It's actually two productions, a double header of one-act plays, one of which is an original script by a local playwright. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
Tonight, in Weaverville, it's the Trinity Alps Music Festival, featuring classical and romantic pieces by Mendelssohn, Elgar, Mozart, and more. This touring performance kicks off the 7th annual summer concert series. It's at the Trinity Alps Performing Arts Center, starting at 7 o'clock. Then tomorrow at 7, the concert appears in Eureka at the Morris Graves Museum of Art. Shasta College presents Stephen Sondheim's musical thriller, Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Performances in the Shasta College Theater are tonight and tomorrow at 7, with a Sunday matinee at 2. Tuesday, the Reading Civic Auditorium welcomes the classic rock group America. This group, a cornerstone of Top 40 radio, has been turning out hits since the early 70s. America appears in Reading starting at 7:30 next Tuesday. The current exhibit at the Orland Art Center, Wanderlust, featuring fine art travel photography by Carmen Boyer. Boyer's subjects include California, Hawaii, Europe, and India. Meet the photographer herself at tonight's gallery reception, happening right now and lasting till 7. Tonight, at Chico's Downtown Plaza, the Friday Night Concert Series presents classic rock sounds with the Retrotones. Your fun starts at 7 o'clock. At Sierra Nevada's Big Room Tuesday night, the Quavy Sisters take the stage for an evening of Western Swing and Vintage Country. This trio of siblings starts singing and fiddling at 7:30. It's time again for the National All-Media Juried Art Exhibition at the Chico Art Center. This collection of works by local, regional, and national artists can be seen Monday through Friday, noon to 4, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4. In Grass Valley, starting next Thursday, the California World Music Fest at the Nevada County Fairgrounds. 4 days, 7 stages, music acts from around the globe. For information and tickets, go online to worldfest.net. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Today's the birthday of Oscar-winning director George Cukor, who commented that, "You can always land on your feet if you know where the ground is."
Thank you.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm speaking with Stephen Cummings, who is the Chico State Director of the Department of University Public Engagement. That includes public events. He is also Acting Director of North State Public Radio. But today we're going to be speaking to him about his chairship of the Chico Arts Commission. I'd first like to ask you, Stephen, about your background in the arts.
Thank you very much for having me on. My background in the arts started when I was first in a play, an opera, Carmen, at Texas Tech University, and the bug bit me. I went on to major in theater at the University of Texas at Austin and get a master's in theater at the University of Illinois, and then went on to become an assistant director and director of performing arts centers in Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, and suburban Chicago, until I started here at Chico State about 4 years ago to run Chico Performances and also be part of the North State Public Radio family.
How did you manage to become involved with the Chico Arts Commission?
I was just minding my own business as the director of Chico Performances, and a few people started to ring me up and said, you know, there's a couple of open seats on the commission, and maybe you should think about stepping up. They were right. I needed to step up. Councilmember Andrew Coolidge appointed me. I've been on the commission for about a year and a half, maybe a little more than now, and a few months ago, I became the chair of the commission.
What is this art commission? What is its goal?
The City of Chico Arts Commission I describe as an advisory group to the City Council. Our job really is to look at trends, tackle some issues, and then really recommend action and policy for the city. Some things we're looking at right now are how could we fund the arts through taxes or percentage of construction funds. We're looking at arts facility, the need for an arts facility, and what that might look like in our community. California Arts Council has recently come out with a plan for arts districts, and we're looking at the viability of an arts district in Chico. And then finally, we're looking at this idea of cultural tourism. What does Chico have that we can promote in the way of arts and culture to not only create a wonderful environment for ourselves and the citizens of Chico, but also bring people to Chico as a possible arts and culture destination?
If we look a few years back, there was a certain amount of funding that arts organizations used to be able to count on. Can you give us some of that background?
This was actually prior to my time on the commission and almost even prior to my time in Chico. There was a tax, a redevelopment assessment, an RDA. Funds from that RDA were set aside for different things, and a percentage of that money was set aside for the arts. Annually, arts organizations could apply, and there was a fairly significant amount of money. And so organizations from theater groups like the Blue Room or galleries in town, arts organizations, arts makers, could apply for those grants. Just as an example, Chico Performances, my organization, applied annually. We received upwards to $20,000 that we used to fund our field trip program, the Chico Performances program that brings shows to Laxon and buses in children, about 10,000-11,000 children every year, to see a show. That was funded in part by a very generous grant. But the RDA was discontinued in Chico, again, for political reasons and tax reasons that I don't fully understand because I was not part of that. But when those dollars went away, there was a significant loss, not just for the arts, but for social services and other areas that received some of that RDA funding. Since then, there's been a lot less city dollars for the arts, and organizations have had to rework their budgets, find their funding elsewhere in the arts and in social services where people were depending on some of those dollars. There is a set-aside now from the city for social community grants, a fraction of what it was at one time, but the city has tried to maintain some sort of funding for arts and culture and social service organizations.
What sorts of visions do you see within the council for really supporting the arts in Chico in a more substantial way?
Well, I think that there's a lot of challenges that our city has right now. a lot of people asking that council to do many things. I think they've done a few things to support, particularly the arts. Recently, they put some money aside for funding the restoration of the hands in front of City Hall. And then, again, this set aside of $50,000 to $60,000 that arts organizations can apply to. I'll just be honest with you, it's far less than once was there. But I don't envy our council members when they have to figure out how to fund street repair, firefighting support, police, and all of the many things that they have to do. So I think that it really is a challenge. I think it's always been a challenge for the arts to find funders. If you go back to the time of Mozart, they relied on the king's court. You know, you went to court to play your best so that you could find a wealthy sponsor that would fund your next aria or your next symphony. The arts have always been funded more by the individual than by the public.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for coming on the program. And I have a question. Chico is an arts destination that generates funds for the whole area. We're listed as one of the top arts towns of our size in the nation. Is that a strong idea, do you think, nowadays with the Arts Commission?
I think so. The Arts Commission funded a arts economic study about 2 years ago. If anyone goes to that study, and there's a link on the city's page, what you'll see is the arts are very much an economic engine. What does the average person spend when they go out for an arts event? I used to be paying a babysitter. I'd pay for that dinner out. I bet you my wife bought something nice to wear that night. And all of these things are funds going back into the community. You can tell the arts are an economic engine in this city. The other thing is that we have very much a maker community here. When you go to any of our art galleries or when you go to Art at the Matador and you see the visual artists, not just in Chico, but in our entire region, we have a real maker community here. People who are making art. I go to homes and I see it hanging, and I go to galleries. I go to restaurants who have turned their restaurant spaces into galleries. And you realize it is just part of this community, this maker community we have. And that is also an economic engine because people want something beautiful around them.
And I'm always so pleased because I'm a theater guy. And how many performing arts organizations there are in this comparatively little town. It's very active. And so there's always things to go to, not just at the university, but, you know, in the community too. That brings a question. How do you think the relationship between town and gown, as they say, as far as your position at the university overlooking the arts and your position overseeing arts for the whole community as well, how do you think those work together?
That's a good question. I think that clearly we have a commitment to the campus, but an equal commitment to the community as an arts provider, as a presenter. So you can see some of that commitment to the campus in a lot of the multicultural things we present and the discounted tickets for students. All of those things are because we see part of our job is rounding out that liberal arts education that so many of our students come to Chico State for. But at the same time, those events are really curated also for our community. If we were just a commercial presenter, we would be presenting pop concerts every weekend. But you can see on our season modern dance, classical music, jazz, world music, a world music festival that's free to this day, a lot of things that we see as part of our commitment to the community. But you're absolutely right. When you start to look around our community, you see all of these other events and think about what they do for our community. If you want to talk about the butcher shop on Labor Day weekend, what a wonderful festival that is. And then the NorCal Jazz Festival, which brings jazz performance not just to Chico, but then suddenly has something in Oroville or up in Redding. So there's a lot of wonderful things happening. I would say that the other commitment that we have to the arts, the university really looks at, if you look at what the School of the Arts and what Chico Performances does that is beyond the artist presentation, but is also the artist in the schools, or the arts program that goes out and does teacher development. So last year we brought a couple of artists to our town who did professional development sessions with Chico Unified School District teachers, because we want to help them infuse and incorporate the arts into their everyday curriculum. Because when they can see how the arts should be integral to the daily curriculum of those elementary students, then there will be this value of art past graduation from high school. We have traveling art teachers in Chico Unified School District. We don't have a committed, dedicated art teacher for every elementary school. I think one art teacher is assigned two, maybe three schools, and they travel with their little bucket of art supplies. And so that student is not guaranteed art instruction every week. Maybe we need to get to a point when we can somehow help the Unified School District to supplement that. And that's what we try to do through our Chico Performances field trip programs and bringing artists to the schools.
As a member of the Arts Commission, are you cognizant of and supportive of what other organizations outside of the university are doing? Like the Chico Arts Center has a whole program to help people have classes and learn art, and you know, there's theater companies for kids and for adults, the performances. I mean, there's all things going on beyond the university. Is that in the mix of things that you're thinking about when you're supporting the arts as a member of the Arts Commission, as the head of the Arts Commission?
Yeah, I think one of our challenges when we had our arts summit recently, one of the challenges we talked about was we all need to get out of our silos. So you need to move beyond your organization. So you need to go see a show at somebody else's theater, or you need to go experience another person's gallery or art opening. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so, so important, because we can get our blinders on. And if we as an arts community stay in our silos and don't work together, we will have no success, because we're also winning hearts and minds here. We're bringing some people who may not have ever had an arts experience, we're giving them that arts experience. And everybody is doing it in their own way. So like Slow Theater has just won, I believe, a California Arts Council grant to start doing theater work with juveniles in lockup in Oroville. Here you have a theater company who is really going to make a difference. And then you want to talk about Monca doing arts instruction at the Torres Shelter. Again, here is an arts organization that is really going to make a difference. And they all need to be celebrated. And that's part of what our job as the Arts Commission is, also to celebrate the successes of these arts organizations and also to advocate for them to the city council and to the community.
Stephen, how do you celebrate these organizations?
The Arts Commission recommends artists, arts organizations, and arts supporters to the council, and annually our mayor gives recognition. It's a wonderful event when it happens. Members from the arts community, people who are being recognized, supporters of the arts who are being recognized, come to city council chamber. The mayor recognizes them. It's really a wonderful thing. They take that piece of recognition. Last year, I can say it was a beautiful piece of glass from Orient and Flume. Hopefully they put it in the lobby of their theater or in the foyer of their gallery or on their mantle at home if they're a funder of the arts. And the next time they have a party, people say, I love that beautiful piece. Where did you get that? You say, you know what I got that? I got that for supporting the arts. Maybe if you support the arts a little bit more, you can have one too.
Well, thank you so much.
The overture is about to start. You cross your fingers and hold your heart. It's curtain time and away we go. Another opening of another show.
Another opening, another show. In Billy Boston.
Another opening, another show. Is happening at Riverfront Playhouse in Reading. Tomorrow night, there's a new production that opens. It's actually two productions. a doubleheader of one-act plays. The Cost of Winning is an original script by co-director Denise Dirk, and it's about ethical issues related to high school football. The other one act is None of the Above, about surprising developments involved as a student studies to pass her SAT test. We'll be joining our Reading correspondent Kelly Frost at Riverfront Playhouse, a theater that's lasted longer than any other in the Reading area. We'll be hearing from a couple of the directors and several of the actors from this new double bill of one acts. Director Michael Gilbo is at Reading's Riverfront Playhouse, and he tells our Reading correspondent Kelly Frost about his involvement co-directing The Cost of Winning, an original script by the co-director, Denise Dirk.
My name is Michael Gilbo, and I am currently working with Denise directing The Cost of Winning. Riverfront brought me in for a two-week stint to work with people. I'm a theater professor at the University of Providence. I've been there for 6 years. I worked in New York for 12 years doing theater and music production there. And I'm actually friends with Denise from a long time ago, back when she lived in Great Falls, Montana.
Tell me a little synopsis of the play.
It's a play that, on a very surface level, shows a specific problem with our epidemic with performance-enhancing drugs. On a more human level, it talks about how sometimes we are willing to blindly ignore something wrong in pursuit of that goal we have. When we see something presented to us that can help us with that goal, we often maybe don't question ourselves and others' motives like we should. The people here at Riverfront are really warm and friendly. Sometimes an outsider comes in, however well-credentialed he may be, you know, sometimes you wonder, who is this? The entire cast has just been so willing to trust me, to try out new things. It's just been a warm, friendly group here at the Playhouse.
What is it like doing a production here in a small community theater like this?
I grew up doing community theater. I think community theater is important. There needs to be that artistic communication with the community and how it can reflect on a local level. It becomes a place for those artists to work and express themselves and find a home. When people support their local community theater, they're not just helping put on productions. They are providing an atmosphere that provides an outlet. I mean, athletics gets always so much support, but we have many of our kids, many of our adults that need another outlet to go to. I've never considered amateur a dirty word. I always love the original and true definition of it, which means for the love of it. The technical skill might not be the same as other things, but sometimes the heart and passion is even greater. That passion and energy, when you're in a small theater like Riverfront, when that can translate, the audience can still have the same transcendent emotional experience that they would have at a Broadway house.
It sounds almost like a story about morality, the way you explained it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what I said. You know, someone might be going, hormone injection, you know, this doesn't relate to me. It does. Everybody deals with what line they're willing to accept in their morality to achieve their goals. And more importantly, I think we are all too often willing to blind ourselves. We're willing to do something on one hand that is immoral, but almost let ourselves be blinded to the fact that we're doing it.
My name is Michael Kilimek. My character is Coach Joe Johnson. He used to be a star when he was in high school, and now he's not in as good shape as he used to be, and he's trying to get back to some of those glory days. He also doesn't want to be a coach. He doesn't want to be a teacher. He wants to move up to where he doesn't have to teach anymore. He thinks that getting a winning football team will help him in that endeavor.
My name is Reese Resendez. I'm playing the part of Brian. I'm the football player who decides that winning is more important to him than actually being fair.
My name is Ron Cease, and I'm playing Robert, a real estate salesman. He used to be president of the Elks Club and member of the Lions Club, and he's committed to the community. They have a good, talented team, and they want to make sure that they can maybe score some money off of this through the bets and win a championship. He stumbles across young football players of using steroids. He figures out that they're up to no good, and he's out to expose them.
It's like a detective.
Just using everyday brain smarts, because it is a smaller community. Things just weren't quite matching up. I hate to tell you how he does these things. Come and see it and see how it happens.
I'm here with Jennifer Levins.
This production is by Jenny Lynn Bader, who has written a lot of young adult plays. She's a very personable young woman. This is a two-person play. A young girl, 17 years old, is getting ready to take the SATs, and her tutor comes to the door. She is expecting her drug dealer. She passes drugs and gets paid a cut so that she can have spending money for, as of yet, unknown reasons. So she meets her SAT tutor, and it's what goes on between them for the entire play. A very funny play. These two get into some of the wildest things, and you'll even learn some math formulas.
Tell me your name and then the name of the character you're playing.
My name's Samuel Story, and I play Clark, this highly intelligent, a little bit neurotic, but really mellow SAT tutor who, for reasons that cannot be explained right now, needs to teach Jamie to get a perfect score on her SAT, which is 1600 or above. Otherwise, let's just say he's in big trouble.
I'm Elizabeth Kacha, and I play Jamie. She is from the Upper East Side in New York, and she's spoiled and sassy while she does deal drugs because she's the connection girl. There's still a lot more to her, and when she meets Clark, that starts to show.
A doubleheader of one-act plays. The Cost of Winning and None of the Above. Open tomorrow night at Riverfront Playhouse. Curtain time for opening night tomorrow is 7:30, and there's also a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. Riverfront Playhouse is located at 1620 East Cypress Avenue in Reading. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.